Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'd like to welcome you right now watching. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos. We had a bit of technical difficulties for just a few minutes. The lights weren't working and we had to do, seemed like a master reset. But praise God, everything is up and running.
Amen.
I've discussed a couple of ideas here with the church, which I will expound on maybe a little bit within the next couple of weeks for those watching. But all in all, thank you so much for taking the time and participating in this evening's Bible study. And I have something brief here this evening, something straight to the point. And before we expound on the Word of God, I'd like to say a small prayer. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we worship you, Lord. And Lord, we exalt your holy, holy name. Thank you, Lord, for being here in our midst this evening. Thank you, Lord, so much for speaking to us, for guiding us, for being there for us, Lord, for comforting us during the times, Lord, that we need comfort. Thank you, Lord, that we are special before your eyes. That, Lord, we are so precious, Lord, to you. And we love you, Lord, for that. And Lord, as I always say, may your people, Lord, right now, may they see you and not see me, Lord. May they hear from your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. The title to this evening's service is called Spiritual Pureness. Spiritual Pureness. And this topic, this title, could be approached in many different directions. We could be talking about seclusion, separation. We could be talking about faith. Something that came across my table in the beginning of the week that just passed, was just that, is cherishing our faith. And man, did that hit home. We've all been dealt a measure of faith. We've all been given a measure of faith. And it's extremely important. I think I've said this morning also. I'm going to say it again this evening. This is how much it hit home to me. And I hope it does for you too. It's very, very important that you guard your faith. That you protect your faith. Right around now, there's a lot of doctrines being taught right now online, especially now in a time where we are not allowed to congregate, we're not allowed to have this amount of people in a building and social distancing and all of that. Yes. So a lot of people are going to other sources. People are trying out congregations, and they're jumping from one place to another place, and then they get excited here and all of that, but you know they feel like they're missing something here, so they go over there and they get all happy and all excited. You get the juices flowing and the blood pumping and everybody's happy. Hey, hey, hey. But there's something missing. But nonetheless, it's crucial for us to heed to the Spirit of God and listen to what the Spirit is saying. If it's meant for you to be, and I'm sort of getting off topic a little bit here, but if it's meant for you to be one in one place, you stick to that place. Commonly known as Sister Mavis, right? Or Sister Macaroni. Otherwise, for short, Sister Mac, right? Ticked you off. The preacher said something that you didn't like. Potentially somebody just said the wrong thing to you, or something got offended. If this is where you're supposed to be, if that is that place that you're supposed to be, you stick with it. You stay there because that's where your blessing is. And when you move, you're moving away from your blessing. You're moving away from God's perfect will. Who knows if you're going to be granted His permissive will or not, right? And all of this stems from you cherishing your faith, being pure, by being mindful of it. Just don't take anything in. Test the spirit. All these things. But right now, I'm going to take things in a slightly different direction. Okay? I'm not going to be talking totally about faith this evening. I want to bring right now to your attention two verses back to back. And they almost mirror each other. You might have come across this verse if you have studied the Old Testament, specifically starting with the book of Deuteronomy. And you have the law. And you have where everything started. The nation of Israel was separated from Egypt. They have become a nation. And in that process, laws were given. Rules were given. You shall do this, and you shall not do that. And if you do all of this, you're going to be okay. Matter of fact, you're going to be extra okay. All right. But nonetheless, going back here, the first verse that I want to bring to your attention this evening comes from Deuteronomy 22, verses 11. And the Word of God says this: "You shall not wear a garment of different sorts, such as wool and linen mixed together." Hey. So right around now, you're like, okay, what was that title again, Pastor? Where are we going with this? That's right. Thank you, brother. Somebody was listening. But this is, have you come across this verse already? Did it ever make you think, why is that there? How about this one? Leviticus 19:19. "You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your livestock breed with another kind. You shall not sow your field with mixed seeds, nor shall a garment of mixed linen and wool come upon you." Okay. So maybe it's starting to make a little bit sense now, Pastor, since you brought in Leviticus. Chapter 19? But before we expound a little bit further on this, what is the strangest law of the Bible to you? For many, Deuteronomy 22:11 would be just that one. And I have to say that early on, I've always remembered this verse in the back of my mind. I've always thought about that, and I always wondered, why is that there? Why does it matter? Right? But ultimately, I've always been conscious of just that. You know, in high school, I would hang out with, they were known as the rockers, right? And all the headbangers and all of those folks that were sort of gothish, and you know, that crowd. And they would dress pretty funny. They dress some funny, they wear the big bell bottoms style baggy pants with the ripped bottoms and the big Harley Davidson chain going across, and they'll have all these patches that they would have sewn on their pants or on their jackets. You know, things that they like. And then this verse would come to mind. Like, am I breaking the law here? You know, like, we don't really want to do that. So it just kind of stuck with me. Is this being somewhat of like a weird law, a strange law? And many people do find that this is a little bit, okay. And this directive is repeated also in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 19. But it also mentions other things too. The phrase "garment of different sorts," as just mentioned now, is from the Hebrew word, listen to this, sha'atnez. 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 I'm hoping I'm saying that right. Please forgive me if I'm not. Which literally means mixed stuff. That's what it stands for. Which Orthodox Jews define as specifically wool and linen together, and not any other mixture. Okay? Not cotton and velvet, or cashmere and, okay, all right, and herringbone, whatever the case is, but specifically wool and linen. That's what it means as far as this shatnas, as far as meaning mixed stuff. Now, there is a law of shatnas, just so you know. And the law of shatnas, they feel, is a mystery, a decree that the king has passed for his subjects, as for which we do not know the reason, right? Rabbinic commentators believe that many of God's statutes are somewhat built of that sort. They sort of have this, okay, we don't know exactly what this means, but the Lord is telling us to do it, so you're just going to do it. Just do it. Okay? And that's it. And they believe that the Lord provides no reason and expects us to accept them in faith. In pure faith. So, I'm okay with this so far. There's one comment of one rabbi that he mentioned, why ask why? Why do you need to ask why? You just go along with the flow. And their point, to an extent, has some validity. And certainly, and certainty. But is there really no reason for this decree right now found in the Bible? Can we listen to God's original point here? Or does this mandate have any significant meaning to Christianity today? What do you think? Or do you think it's just something of the Old Testament? A spiritual principle, most importantly, is involved in this scripture. One spiritual principle. And that is the principle of separation. That is the principle. This is what this verse is trying to say. Just as God wanted the physical nation of Israel to be kept separated from all the nations that they were involved. Why? Because all the nations around didn't serve the one true God. All the nations around served Baals and Molech and everything else, Ashtaroth. And they made themselves imaged and figured and believed in all these things and followed the stars and worshiped the God of rain and everything else. So there had to be a separation from the very beginning. All these people around you, they believe and they think and they act and they do a particular thing, and they do things a certain way, you shall be separated. Because why? You are mine. You are my people. And just as God wanted a physical nation of Israel to be kept separated, we are to maintain spiritual separation from the sin that surrounds all of us every single day. Deuteronomy 14:12 says essentially the same thing to the children of Israel. And I'm ready for that verse, please, Dion. Deuteronomy 14:2 says this: For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people who are on the face of the earth. Case in point. There it is. You are to be separated, for you are a holy people to the Lord. The Lord who? The Lord your God, whom you serve. The Lord God has chosen this group of people right there to be His, to be secluded, to be separated. You are mine. Also, another verse that elaborates also in the same theory is also in Exodus 19:5. And it says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." You see there? The nation of Israel, they were a chosen people. They were special. They were something significant. The Lord was jealous of those people. And for this reason, Israelites were not to mix wool and linen, nor mix physically with those that surround them. Okay? The nation around you, you shall not take their daughters. And their daughters will not have your sons, and vice versa. There will be no intermarriage. You shall be exclusive. Now, I just showed you a series of verses from the Old Testament. And now with this understanding that I've just expounded on, we can bring the principle to the New Testament and apply it under the New Covenant. How about that? What does it say now after the Lord has come and died on a cross for us? This is what it has to say. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 16, please. The Word of God says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." This is the new covenant right now. This is the covenant that we are living in right now. And you know, this part that the Apostle Paul quotes on the very end, what does he quote? "I will be their God, and they shall be my people." It is found in at least a half a dozen Old Testament verses. But mind you, this is coming through the new covenant, right? Old Testament verses like Jeremiah 24, 31, 32, Ezekiel 11, 37, Zechariah 8, 8, all these expound upon God being your God and you being His and we being His people. And more importantly, the apostle clearly indicates that the principle still applies today. Except that now, it is God's church that is separated out of everything else. It's not a nation. Right now, we're not just physically talking about a nation out in the Middle East. Right now, we're talking about the church of the living God. But now, speak about separation. One of the things that is mentioned is the unequal yoke, right? That is mentioned right now. With that also comes from the Old Testament, now mentioned in the New Testament. This is found in Deuteronomy 22:10. Can I have that, Dion, please? It says, you shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. Right? Now, talk about like weird verses and funny verses and things that don't make sense. Well, maybe this might be another one. Why is it that the Lord is so dialed in to like my everyday living? I mean, do I have to include him on how I conduct my business, my personal life, right? How I plow my fields, how I reap, how I sow? Well, absolutely. Darn Skippy, if I may say. Absolutely. But one thing is this. The ox was a clean animal, and the donkey was unclean. Right there. There's a problem. And furthermore, their step and pull are unequal. You're going to work them to death. That's cruelty. That's working backwards. That's not good business. You're setting yourself up for failure, for loss. It's like you take one step forward and two backwards. That almost applied. And by way of contrast, when believers are yoked with our Lord Jesus, they find that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Right? So what does the Bible instruct us to do? Give it to the Lord. Just give it to him. You don't have to wrestle, right, with what we're going through right now. The Bible clearly says, take my yoke. All right? I'm not here to struggle with you. I'm not here to wrestle with you. Just take mine. Because mine is feather light. Because I don't have to be like pulling this right here. Okay? And I don't want you to go through this on your own. So won't you go ahead and take mine? Mine is light. Amen? This section of 2 Corinthians is one of the key passages in all the Word of God in the subject of separation. It is clear instruction that the believer should separate himself from the unbelievers, from iniquity, from darkness, from idols, from Belial, from all these things that separate you from God. Further, the Apostle Paul in Titus chapter 2, verses 14, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, says this. And it says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Right? Stick with me on this one. One interpretation of this law asserts that wool stands for works, and linen represents grace. And the two can never mix. But does not the Apostle Paul do just that in this verse? Almost mixes them together? Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from sin, which is grace. Then he goes on to say that our Lord Jesus did this to purify us, to set us apart, to make us a people zealous of good works. Now, he redeemed us by grace so we can strive to live a sinless life, which oftentimes we fail repeatedly We have shortcomings. Our Lord Jesus died on the cross for us to inherit salvation, grace. But nonetheless, we fail continually. But guess what? We must try. We must continually try. So the law of God gives us our borders, our limits. And without them, there would be no sin. Where do I come up with that? Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So here, we have God's grace. We have his mercy. We have received salvation. And it is our duty to be zealous about what we do. To be zealous on the things that we are involved in. To practice your faith. To cherish your faith. Right? All these things go hand in hand. 1 Peter 2:9 describes the church. The Apostle Peter writes these words. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Right there. And now, where does Deuteronomy and Leviticus right now, where does that leave us? Where does it leave us in terms of Deuteronomy 22:11 or Leviticus 19:19, our opening verse for this evening? Just as not circumcising a baby boy would not be a sin in today's time, since it is not a sign under the new covenant, so with mixing wool and linen. Okay? This is where we stand. However, there are proven health benefits to circumcision. There are proven benefits. Science has proved it, that there are some benefits beyond just religion. God is not fickle that way. There is great good in following his instructions, even if they are no longer binding under the new covenant. And it would not surprise if there is a health benefit for not mixing the two fabrics also. If somebody came and told me, well, you can develop skin cancer if you mix wool and linen, I'd be like, yeah. I'm totally with you, dude. Like, I wouldn't be like, prove it. No, what for? Because God already told us not to do it. So if somebody comes up with some theory to where as though it is harmful for you, I'd be like, okay, the Lord knew this from thousands of years ago, right? So I wouldn't be surprised. And certainly, all of one or the other produces a better quality garment anyways. I love a nice tailored fit, you know, linen shirt. I love it. I like it so much that this summer I went out and bought 3 linen pants. And I wear them in the dead of heat. When it's hot outside, you put on a nice pair of linen pants and you're okay. You know, you're just easy breezy, right? Everything is all right. I wouldn't dare wear one now. It's the beginning of winter. It is going to be way too breezy. But nonetheless, and now in the wintertime, I'm going to start bringing out my wool jackets and my wool sport coats. Why? Because I need it. I love them. They make a great product. It's a great fabric, but a great attire, I should say. Praise God. I don't have any intentions of mixing both. And for us today, however, the takeaway is to keep ourselves spiritually pure, which is the title to this evening's service. This is the takeaway from all of this. Separation. To concentrate on not mixing with the sin and mentality that is out there in the world right now. It's not to mix ourselves. Don't get caught up in the mix. Don't be involved. Don't let outside things influence you to the worse and separate you from the love of God or even His perfect will. For we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. But most importantly, we are His own special people. And for that, we need to be separated. We need to be spiritually pure. So let us always separate ourselves from everything that's happening around us. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless Your holy name. Lord, we exalt You. Thank You, Lord, that we are precious before Your eyes. And for that, Lord, we love You. And I pray, Lord, that every single day, Lord, we would concentrate ourselves, Lord, to be holy unto You in all that we do, in our business life, in our personal life, in our social life. Lord, we are Yours. Use us, Lord, for the honor and glory of Your name. Thank You, Lord, for salvation. Thank You, Lord, that one day we will all be with You. Thank You, Lord, so very much. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.